Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back to Blue Collar BS, where we dive deep into the grit, the grind, and the glory of blue collar success stories. Hey, Brad, you know, I gotta say, today's episode is one for the books. How are you feeling about this one, my friend?
Well, Steve, I am feeling amazing. I am feeling so energized and charged as we have the amazing person coming on because we've got an absolute powerhouse joining us. Someone who redefines hustle, confidence, and mastery every single time she steps into a room, the one and the only, the amazing Precious Williams.
That's right, Brad. I mean, Precious is the CEO of Perfect Pitch Group. She's a 13-time national elevator pitch champion. Not to mention, man, she is a Shark Tank alum, a best-selling author, and a top 100 corporate sales trainer. This woman, she's a walking, talking masterclass in confidence and storytelling.
No doubt. And let's not forget, she's a trailblazer teaching entrepreneurs, leaders, and dreamers how to sell themselves and their vision in ways that make jaws drop and wallets open. Plus, she's got an infectious energy that's impossible not to get hyped about.
Exactly, Brad. I mean, everybody strap up today, folks, because today's episode is more than just a conversation. It's an experience. Oh, Precious is here to drop some wisdom bombs about pitching, storytelling, and what it takes to own any room you walk into.
Absolutely. And if you've ever thought, how do I get people to say yes to me, whether it's in a boardroom, the job market, or just in life, this episode is for you. Let's dive in with the queen of the pitch herself, Precious Williams.
Welcome back to Blue Collar BS. How you doing today, Brad?
I am fantastic, Mr. Doyle, and it is the Tuesday, Friday after the Thursday night Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers football game, where the Detroit Lions
were
successful in winning a heart attack type situation, because why are you going for fourth and one at your own 30? I have no idea, but Dan Campbell and that team, he's got that team just rolling.
Oh, yeah. Right now. It was awesome. The cheese graters were out. Just ground and pound and have a way at it. It was amazing.
I was having a hard time. See, you haven't lived with all of the pain and suffering that I have, Steve, as you are a much younger gentleman.
Oh, well, I have to admit, with all that pain and suffering, you just kind of move on to a different team. It's
I have not.
You have not.
So this is my son. He made this for me back in high school, 0-16 season. So I've been through the thicks and thins, and it's hard to accept success.
It's amazing to watch the transformation. It is absolutely amazing. So with that, Brad, who do we have on the show today?
Oh, man, we have the one, the only, the amazing Precious Williams, founder and CEO of the Pitch Perfect Group. Perfect Pitch Group. Sorry, Precious, I got that wrong. 13-time national elevator pitch champion, 5 times number one best-selling author, professional speaker, training entrepreneurs in business and leadership, top 100 corporate sales trainer, makes it rain every time she enters into the room, has nothing but positive presence, successful appearance in season 8 of Shark Tank. She's done lots of things, been around the world, and we are just so fortunate and so grateful that you are willing to spend a little time with us, Precious, on our podcast, our award-winning podcast, The Blue Collar.
That's right.
You handed us. I was blessed to be presented this award. Precious Williams. So
maybe make me say Hercules.
That's awesome. Welcome to the show, Precious.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So before I forget and we get started having too much fun here, which generation do you identify fit in with, Precious?
I've been told Generation X.
That's the greatest generation there is right now. Right
I mean,
now.
Only if you were part of it, Steve. Only if you were part of it.
Wow. Wow. All right.
You threw it up there. I did
give you the softball. You know, it'll be the only one today. Not really. Not really.
Precious, we've had the opportunity. We've had some engagement within our small business owner community and things. I've been able to get to know you. And what intrigues me most is how and what you are seeing in your world as a speaker, as a trainer, a sales trainer, and corporate educator. What are you seeing across generations when you're in those rooms of people being engaged, afraid, not afraid of doing all the amazing things you teach them?
You know what doesn't shock me anymore? It throughout generations, I'm seeing people more fearful of speaking, more fearful of interacting one-on-one or in person. People have gotten so used to being behind screens and maybe shutting off the screen when they're just not interested, or they're used to texting now because of the pandemic, that you have real conversations to meet face-to-face. And you know, Brian, I'm an engaging speaker. I'm not a lecturer. So I'm going to pull you out of wherever you are so you don't get, oh, well, I'm just going to sit here in the back. That's not me. So it's interesting that people are more comfortable with being behind screens or typing rather than having real interactive conversations.
Mm. And how are you drawing that? Are you finding different ways to draw that out based on their demographic, or is it more truly individual to individual? Because I mean, you're entering a room, right? All you have is what you see, whether they're dressed, whether they're young, old, hip, right, trendy, you know, whatever.
There are some differences in my approach. I am a proud 45-year-old woman. Look at the way the light hit the melanin. That everyone don't glow. The glow.
Right.
So if I'm with people who are my age and older, you know, that's, I come in like a wrecking.
That's totally Brad.
I come in like a wrecking ball, but I also do that because as I was growing up, I used to hear that, you know, women, when they get to a certain age, they become invisible. I refuse to become invisible. And I also want to model that for people who are, you know, 40s and higher. No, you can still have presence in the room. You can walk in with grace. You can walk in like the wrecking ball. Also, I like to model what people really can be at that age. If I'm talking to a different generation, like when I go into colleges and universities, oftentimes they're trying to be behind the screen so you won't ask them any questions. And one of the great things that I love to do, and Brad, you know this is true about me, I will ask for volunteers. And maybe one person will, but I will bless the volunteer in such a way by giving a book or something that's tangible. And that allows others to be like, you know what? I can too, because she's not going to eat me up. She's not going to bite me or anything. She's not going to make me look stupid.
Right.
Like I used to look in law school, hope that the teacher would never ask me questions.
Oh, yeah. Which Grant mentioned, like, she's also a lawyer.
If they're like, you know, high school, that's a totally different beast altogether. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different beast altogether. But try to have different references from country, pop, hip hop, to show, hey, I'm trying to meet you where you are, so let's get this work. So for me, as a speaker who's been doing this almost 30 years to come next year, it's important for me to come into different generations. And I always like to enter the room before. I like to enter the room before people get in first, just to feel the energy of the room. And then when people enter, then I see what was a change. If what I'm saying I don't think resonates, then I will change it on a dime because I've been doing it so long. But there are differences in how different generations receive me. And I want them to receive me with open arms, some with shock and awe, some with, I can't believe you can be 45 and walk in with that kind of power. Or for our young people, you're worthy. Start acting like it. Start putting yourself out there beyond the computer screen. You'd be amazed what FaceTime really looks like and how it can really help you.
Yeah, you just hit on something, that the younger generation needs to be worthy. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
When you say the younger generation, yes, because I when I'm meeting our young people, if they're not in tech, or if they keep looking at social media and what they should be having, and if they don't have it, or let's say I come from the hood of St. Louis, Missouri. I didn't grow up with a lot. And now that I'm older, I'm realizing a lot of times I shrank because I didn't think I had the Nikes, or I could care less today. But for them, it is, I don't look like this influencer who's my age and they're making millions of dollars for doing what seems like nothing. Why can't that work for me? And if it didn't work the first time, they also don't know what all goes on behind the scenes. They just see smoke and mirrors. I want to show them, listen, not just because I came from nothing, considered nothing, but because there's still room for people to come into spaces and be themselves, because you look and sound so different from the polished version they see online. Mm-hmm. And you can use that to your advantage. The difference is we all ran from when we were little. I don't want to be different. I want to fit in. I could care less about fitting in. And I want to get that into them.
That is 100% truth, Precious.
Right?
You already know, Brad.
Yeah.
But I do. I want to get them, like, pull yourself out of that. Like, some of y'all like cars. Some of y'all like all these other things that I find so fascinating with young people. And they want to be like, I shouldn't I be a podcaster? Shouldn't I be a content creator? Babe, you can go outside and go find things and take people on your journey with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
But are they worthy? Yes. And being told every day that it's a lazy generation. Is this, listen, I'm here to just tell these young people and also show them that difference and that thing that makes you like quirky. That's going to be your meal ticket. Promise you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That uniqueness is what makes a difference. I just had a call last night, LinkedIn random connection, connected with her. She too is a Gen X individual, art major. Her first job out of school was as a project manager for a fire alarm company. Got thrown into the, and this was, well, back in the late 80s, early,
right,
male dominated lady going through there, and first project, she's doing all the stuff. The techs, she had the wherewithal to know what she didn't know, make the relationship with the techs that were doing the work. The techs had her back the entire time and went through, and the guy who was running the show on the building, like, I didn't think you were going to make it, but you did. So congratulations, you know, and it's about finding the opportunity for the younger folks to understand that all us old folks, we're not angry. We're not bitter. We're not all that way. We have lots of information to share and we like sharing it, but you also got to be willing to want to listen and take initiative, because we're not just, right? That's the initiative part. Are you seeing, when you ask for those volunteers in the room, have you seen a trend as to what maybe, like if it's a large corporate event, right? And you've got all generations in the room, is there a trend as to who's stepping up and who is not?
If it's a mixed environment, a white man will usually step forward first. And really? Here's what my thoughts are. Yeah, most definitely. And, really? And I'll say, like, pitch please, right? And I'll say, if I say anything that resonates, say pitch please. It is usually a white man who will be the first to say pitch please. Higher up the food chain he is, it gives everyone else permission to say it too.
Huh.
And see, I'm seeing it from the perspective of the stage as the speaker. People don't even realize this. I'm seeing it. It's just women. It's usually a younger person who want to test my gangster. And I love it because I want them to test my gangster. I'm not afraid of it. But if it's a mixed environment, or if I'm going to go where it's just, you know, just white men, I think what they are fascinated by with me in volunteering is, number one, making sure that I am who I say I am, that I respect them, they respect me. And then this allows me to really showcase. You may have seen and heard from a lot of other people, the skill set that I'm going to come at you with, you can't find in a textbook. You've never met someone like me. So
true.
Bring it. Do you remember Mortal Kombat? It's like, finish him.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
You're not there to finish people, but if you want to test, please believe I'm ready for this. I don't know if you have to hear the I don't know if you can hear the ambulance.
Oh, yeah,
we've been New York. Don't think I don't get tested on a daily basis. I'm from St. Louis. So if it's a mixed environment, it's usually a white man, and he gives permission for other people to let loose. If it's younger and older people together, younger person. And I like it because then it sends a message to the younger people and to the older people. She's not going to bite us. She might even give us little presents and gifts, and we can take that to wherever we are. The first person that volunteers to me sets the tone for everyone else. And if I show love and support, it allows others who normally wouldn't to really test themselves against me. And I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I can speak firsthand to that.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't.
I was so scared, Precious, to go on stage when you were doing your pitch please piece at our conference. I was scared to death to go up on that stage and do that. And You know the tall snack. You know the tall snack, Andy.
I know
right?
tall snack.
He was right in front of me, like, yeah, okay, let's go do this. And then, you know, you change it from 60 seconds to 90 seconds, and then you did the thing, and I'm like, okay, great. And then I just remember you sitting there trying to figure out what notes you were going to say, because I did pretty darn well from all the things you've done in your pitch.
Let me tell you something, Steve. Hashtag no lies detected.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And I will say this to you, Brad. You may have been thinking in your mind all these sort of things. I'm always so proud that whatever's going on in people's minds, it's not that I'm not paying attention to any of that. What came out of you was wonderful. And normally I have lots of things. It wasn't nothing there.
No.
And as I look out at the audience,
I can see you looking at the clock going, shit, we got 10 minutes left. What the fuck are we going to talk?
All right.
Is that an unexpected detour?
It was.
That's so unexpected. And it was right on time. So when I was you were getting your award for, you know, podcast of the year, my mind went back 2 years. And here we are on stage together. I am in no way surprised. No way surprised. Also, for me as a Black woman, which I know y'all probably like, what, she Black? What? Really? What? Whatever. I'm walking into certain situations where people have preconceived notions of what I'm going to come in as, or how I'm going to teach, or how I'm going to talk. And for me, it's, I have to stand in my power regardless, but I can pull from so many different parts of my life to connect with others. So I can connect with my father, who was still a janitor. And I can also be up here with so-called up here with the president, and none of it bothers me. None of it.
No, and that's what's awesome. So as you've gone through your pitch, perfect pitch opportunities, and most of our listeners, I'm going to assume I can say this with fact based on our data, most of our listeners are in that 28 to 44 range. Also going to assume, well, they're about 60% male, 40% women. Don't get the demographic breakdown from a ethnicity perspective, but I'm going to assume I'm going to assume there's probably white audience in our listener mix. As they are entrepreneurs going through their business, what are some of the things that they can do to elevate themselves and differentiate themselves when they are talking to a prospect, talking to a client, talking to a peer, talking to a supplier, a subcontractor? What are some of the things that you can suggest to them to be different, to embrace their uniqueness in those types of things?
What a dope question. So first I would say, make sure you research who your prospect is, if possible. Make sure you research them. But also, I want you to come to the table knowing that you have something of value to offer. And oftentimes we forget about that. Oh, we want to make the sale so bad, we forget what we bring to the table. If you notice Steve and Brad, you'll notice that there are certain things in my bio that I think are always important. 5-time number one bestselling author, 13-time national pitch champion, Fortune 100 corporate sales trainer, those sort of things, Forbes, all of this. Those sort of things I want to ground me and remind me that when I'm meeting with someone, I'm coming to the table locked and loaded. What they're coming to the table with, I've already studied and I'm ready for you. So I want to come. I'm starting from a place of worth, which is not what I did in my 20s, which is not what I did in my early and mid 30s. In my late 30s and the 40s, I started to really understand that until I walk in feeling comfortable in who I am, that I had a strong support network, who I could bounce ideas off of, who I could do these role playing with. So when I walk in, it's not my first rodeo. I practice. When it comes to pitching yourself, and all of these are very, very important, you know, what is their challenge? What do you know their challenge to be? Are you saying it in their language so they understand that you really are the only choice that matters? So until you deal with what their challenge problem is in their language, you've glossed over them. Number two, we do not start off with our name and the name of the company, or our company or the company that we represent. It's boring. Give me a reason to freaking care. Give me a reason. So that problem, that challenge, and you might say it in a question, a startling statistic or quote, you might say it in some such a way that's like, oh, she gets me. Well, and then offer your unique solution. So, Brett, like when I walk into a room or I'll say something like, you know, who wants to make it rain and slay the game? Did she really just say that? Make it rain.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, whoa, now I've interrupted the pattern of boring. You got hands going up. Like, did she really just say that? I like that reaction because it forces you to be like, oh, I don't know her name or whatever, but she's loud. She's ridiculous. And I'm kind of liking it. She's not boring. The third thing that I think is very, very important is to demonstrate some of the research that you've done on them and some of the research that they need to know about you and your background. So that's why I was talking about the five time, all these sort of things, because you want to position yourself as truly the only choice that matters, that they can't find everything online about you. You definitely want to let them know what are some of the options that you have available. If they're able to look at some things online, some things you want to leave them with, some marketing materials and things like that, your name, the name of the company you represent. And I also think it's important for people to understand, why did you get into this field in the first place? Why is that important? You have to get a full origin story. But I know for me, when I started my lingerie company at 327 pounds, never did I ever think I'd date a very famous Hollywood actor at 327 pounds.
Hmm.
Never did I think I'd leave ex-fiance and find a famous actor on Craigslist. Story don't even make no kind of sense. Makes no kind of sense. How did my first pick land me $500,000 in 54 seconds? How did I get in movies and documentaries? And that's cool stuff that I didn't have all the way in the beginning. But being able to weave this through conversations, and instead of feeling like you had to stand up and say these things, remember, it's a conversation. It may not happen the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You may meet via Zoom again. You may do certain things. Your biggest thing is following up matters. So even if the sale isn't right then and there, and oftentimes it won't be, you want them to leave an impression in their brain. Let me see what they're up to. Let me go on LinkedIn or wherever your target market is, wherever they are. Are you sending things to that person? Hey, you were on my mind today. I saw this in the news. Check this out. What you're doing is you're establishing a real relationship that you can't do just via text. That you're demonstrating, hey, I would love to have your business. In the meantime, let me check. Let me let you know what I'm seeing in your industry. Maybe this applies mm-hmm. to your industry. So this is why I say pitching is so much more important, or the communication is so much more important than that initial. Keep it going. And sometimes it takes people 3 years to figure it out. Some of y'all have long sales cycles. That's part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope that helps.
It does.
Absolutely.
There is a lot of information there for them to digest, and that's why they can pause and write it down, and it'll all be in the show notes on top of it. And
come on.
It'll all be good.
Yeah. One of the questions that I have is, most people, and you highlighted this right at the beginning, most people, they're a little shy. They don't like to come out of their shells.
Right.
How do we help them bust a nut through that shell?
Well, I like that. Okay.
So hold on, Precious. Just one moment. This may not be a rhetorical question. Just so you know.
I'm a bad bitch with a power pitch. Let's get it. So, I mean, listen, I'm going to take it from my background. So, listen, yep. It's very hard to be a 327-pound woman.
You're not
some
that
of y'all over here like, she's a beast. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You're not that anymore.
I do. Listen, I'm a whole snack. Come fetch me. Okay, so anyway, but it took me a while to be able to say certain things now, right?
Yeah.
But the more I kept going, that's why I think role playing, like even this, what we're doing right now, being able to think on your feet. You can only think on your feet if you're being tested.
Right.
So asking your network to help you to role play, to go through these sort of things. I wasn't a great attorney because I only did it once. I was constantly in the courtroom testing my gangster against these so-called Harvard, yeah, Stanford, Columbia, cool tech, cool people from great families. And I'm like, I'm going to slice and dice you, baby. I'd have been to hell and back. This is nothing for me.
You're going to work out, hustle out, outperform those guys. No problem.
No problem. But again, this is where you utilize your network, and we forget about this when it comes to communication. Sometimes your network hears of opportunities that they can say your name for. So if they don't know what you do, if you're not doing role playing with them, if you're not consistently updating them on things that are happening or what you're getting into, they won't say your name. So role playing is important, but also sometimes you just got to have the balls of someone so freaking mediocre, but who just knows how to make money. Just be saying all kinds of ridiculousness. You got to have the balls to say it and do it. If I told you I'm a whole snack, come fetch me at 327 pounds, but you saw who I was dating, you'd be like, oh, I was a killer pitch master slicing and dicing way back when. You know what I'm saying? And so I know I have an attitude. I know I come through like a wrecking ball like Miley Cyrus, but some of y'all are going to be introverted. Some of y'all are going to hold yourselves back. And I'm going to tell you like this. Y'all seen what happened in the last 4 years? We've been through 100 years of business in 4 years. If you don't put yourself out there, if you're not doing lives, if you don't find yourself on podcasts, like get people to see you, get all these kinks out now. Get them all out. If you got a little, all of that kind of craziness, get it out now. People actually like it. Like it. But when it comes down to sitting with that prospect, that's why I say speaking. Get your speaking skills up. Get all of this stuff out now. Because when it comes to times like this, and y'all be talking about busting through nuts and stuff like that, I'm like, listen.
Oh, listen, this is not an act. This is who she is, folks. Yes, ladies
and gentlemen. Who I am, boy. They're not hiring me to be cookie cutter. They're hiring me to be like, we bait the track and the closing with ease. We want the bad bitch with the power pitch. We want to make it rain and slay the game. It took me years to be comfortable in my own skin. So I'm not telling y'all something I didn't do. I'm telling y'all what I know. All the people who told you no, this is where you get rid of them. Drop them off. Exit stage left. And go around people who do not know you. Because they're going to listen to you totally different. They're going to put you in different rooms. So if you allow your fear to have you hanging out with people who are beneath you or want to keep you at a certain level, it's time to exit stage left. No BS up in these streets. My life changed when I started hanging with people who didn't need to know my backstory. We didn't need to talk about my race, my gender, and nothing. It was pure talent walked in the room. About to slay, get on this train, and they were riding with me and putting me in position. So get around people who really don't know you. They will open doors, but also being vulnerable and saying you're a little scared. We all are. So keep listening to this podcast. You're going to hear from a whole bunch of different people, but I'm not the asshole for just saying, I know who I am. I know who I be. And I show up because I'm from the show me state, St. Louis, Missouri.
Fucking Cardinals. God damn it.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyhow, so I think so Precious, you made a very good, right? Change your network. Change your thing. So if you're a contractor, you're a home service provider, you're a whomever it is, and you are tired of all the cheaples, freeples, and peoples that don't want to pay you, find a different market. Find a different person. Find a different marketing company. Find a different family member that's going to help you out, that's going to believe and support you. Do something, because you are 100% accurate, Precious. When you change your circle, you change your opportunities.
Definitely. I think we have a mutual friend who says, when you change your circle, you change your life. I also went to a couple of higher dollar events. So you know how people go to $25 events and stuff like that? Those aren't decision makers. So once or twice a year, I would really suggest going to other events in different industries because you're going to meet the decision makers who've never seen someone like you, which means you're one of one, not one of 30.
Right.
So Precious, folks want to get a hold of you. They want they want to see the snack. They want to understand what's going on. They want to talk to you. How do people find you? Let me get a hold of you to put you in the room with the whole stack in front of an audience.
I love it. So again, y'all, my name is Precious Williams. I am the proud founder and CEO of the Perfect Pitch Group. I'm an international professional speaker, top Fortune 100 corporate sales trainer, 5-time number one best-selling business book author, global gal about town. To reach me, our website is www.perfectpitchgroup.com. On LinkedIn, I'm Precious L. Williams, hashtag rainmaking speaker. On Instagram, we're at Perfect Pitch Group. If you want to check out some of the things that we have going on, please go to www.perfectpitchgroup.com/free gifts. You'll get the first chapter of my fifth number one best-selling book, Rainmaking 101 from Day One. And you'll also get our document that says how to make it rain and slay the game in your business today. So those are ways that you can get in contact with me, and you can contact us also at info@perfectpitchgroup.com. You need a dynamic speaker? You want somebody to turn up? You want a wrecking ball? You want somebody who's going to truly transform your sales, business development, client acquisition skills? contact Precious Williams.
It is a show and one awesome. That will not disappoint. It will not disappoint. I've been blessed to see Precious on stage several times now, and she is never disappointed whatsoever. You haven't.
Thank you.
You are an amazing human being, and I am blessed to have met you and be able to share a stage with you and have you on the show and be part of a community that we're collaborating in together. And I am blessed that you have entered into our lives. So thank you so much, because you are awesome.
Thank you so much, Brad. Thank you so much, Steve. Yeah. This chick's going to get moving in.
All right. Precious, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Precious.
Thank you all for having me.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.